8A, reading. Exercise 1B, page 118.
The day the tsunami struck. In March 2011, Japan suffered the biggest earthquake in its history. The quake triggered an equally massive tsunami, with waves reaching up to 15 meters high. Overseas news reporter Iris Morgan was there. This is her story.
Friday, the 11th of March 2011, started as an ordinary day. I was with my camera crew covering a story about the scallop fishermen of the Miyagi Prefecture. It was a cold afternoon with a dark sky, and it looked like it might snow. I was just finishing the interview when suddenly, around 3:15 p.m, the ground started shaking beneath our feet. Even before the siren started to sound over the town, we knew it must be an earthquake. It became impossible to stand. In a moment, enormous cracks appeared in the road. Local people said a tsunami was approaching and urged us to get away as soon as possible. We climbed to higher ground above the town and waited. A short time later, we saw the sea rise up in a colossal wave and completely destroy the breakwater that was protecting the coastline. We watched helplessly as the water flooded into the town and washed away everything in its path. It seemed the whole town was afloat. Cars, trees, even rows of houses were swept along in the raging torrent. The rising sea soon engulfed the whole town. It had taken only 30 minutes. Up on the hill, we huddled together with the evacuated residents and tried to keep warm. We were in a state of shock and couldn't believe how rapidly it had all happened. One man told me he had escaped from a building just before it was washed away. He saw many people washed away with it. Two of them were his parents. He had been unable to reach them and thought they must have drowned. We spent two nights up there on the hill. On Sunday morning, as the water started to recede, we guessed there would be no further tsunami warnings. We were also extremely hungry, so we decided to venture back down to the town in the unlikely hope of finding some food. We couldn't believe our eyes when we saw the scale of the devastation. Whole streets of houses had been flattened and were now reduced to heaps of rubble. Some very weird sights greeted us. A double-decker bus that had been carried along in the flood was now perched on top of a three-story building, while somebody's former home stood upon the roof of a primary school. As we walked on, shocked and silent, I wondered if the town could ever return to normal. A local woman was shaking her head as she wandered down the road. "I don't know if it's good or bad that I survived," she said as we passed by. Hearing her words, another man left with nothing spoke out. "Those of us who are left have a duty to help each other in any way possible. No one is allowed to give up." Standing together among the ruins and debris, we knew he was right.